Good morning. Welcome, my friends. We have officially crossed the midway threshold of Frankly Speaking Radio. It's Saturday, March 31st, 2007, 1 o'clock here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at franklyspeakingradio.com or, of course, the officially sanctioned website of the network. That would be republicbroadcasting.org. You can surf on over to our guests' two websites, of course, the very, very easy book on Mars.info and dataforscience.net. And the book in question is What NASA Isn't Telling You About Mars. Its author, our guest, Ted Tweetmeyer. Welcome back.
Hi. I was just going to quickly say about where those two rovers landed.
Uh-huh.
NASA, somewhere high up, decided there would be six possible landing sites. And I actually saw their conference where they presented a big flat topographic map of the planet to their scientists and said, which of these, any of these two sites do you want to put them at? And they actually decided where to send the two rovers by a show of hands.
Really?
They really did that. They really did it. I was just astounded, and I thought, how did they come up with those six sites? And, of course, the one I wrote about in the book is the one where the explosion happened. The civilization was there. How did they know there was a civilization there?
Wow.
That's interesting, isn't it?
It's extremely interesting. And when we left off, you were saying that they actually just sort of, you know, peddled their way out away from all the artifacts at some point.
Yeah, they did. When we got into some of the really intriguing ones toward the back of the book, because the book is pretty chronological in the way it's laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And when they got to those, they then sent that thing off to a wasteland. I mean, there was nothing.
Right.
You know, and there's been pretty much nothing ever since. I think that was like day 625, if I remember correctly.
Hmm.
So that's very curious, you know.
It is interesting. So to answer Bert's question there, as far as is NASA themselves, extraordinarily unscientific methodology, such as, you know, we'll vote by secret ballot and we'll send out little notes to say, should we go to site A or site B? Check here, you know, and or raise your hand or let's throw darts at a dartboard with a map of Mars on it. Extraordinarily unscientific. But however, obviously those six sites were all of interest to them, implying that they did know that there was some sort of artifacts or some sort of scientific value to those areas.
Yeah, they somehow knew.
Yeah.
The curious thing is the other rover was sent in the middle of a dry lake, and it traveled for months and months and months and saw absolutely nothing but nothing. I mean, in every direction there was nothing.
Wow.
For miles and miles and miles.
Interesting. So that could be sort of the decoy, I guess, maybe?
Yeah. Makes you wonder.
Yeah, well, it does. I mean, you think about the tens of thousands of images coming back from these things that, you know, certainly most people would be dazzled with the scenery and then, of course, get bored very quickly. So if you can keep on cranking out nothing, you know, people are going to tune out.
That's right.
Especially when there's a brand new American Idol on or something.
Yeah. Well, they're a major distraction.
Oh, yeah, well, there's plenty of those. Well, Ted, you've been an absolute joy, as always. I really enjoy having you on the program, always. I appreciate you staying up late with us tonight. Did you have any final thoughts for us about the websites or anything like that?
Well, it helps the research go forward because, you know, we're not a bannerized website. We don't, you know, we're not selling advertising time. So the book sales is what helps keep the research, keep the website running, and the great efforts of our webmaster, Chris, who's contributed staggering amounts of his own time, persona non grata, to do that. By the way, I also love to talk to your listeners. I appreciate doing that.
Well, there's certainly quite a few listening here this evening from what I understand, and I wish we had more time, but I appreciate everything you've done for us. Folks, Ted Tweetmeyer, check out the websites, bookonmars.info, dataforscience.net. Ted Tweetmeyer, God bless you and your work, sir. I really appreciate it. And folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Folks, you are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Certainly appreciate Ted Tweetmeyer's time. Guys, just amazing stuff. We'd only actually planned to do an hour, so for him to stay on over is certainly a great benefit to us, and we appreciate that very much. Folks, our phone number is 800-313-9443. Toll-free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. I always try to make some time for you guys to sort of weigh in with your thoughts on a variety of different things. Whatever it might be, you're welcome to call us. And we'll talk about it here this evening. We got a good 2 hours or so to play. So, yeah, wherever you may want to go, maybe you want to weigh in on some things. Like I said, last night, it was strictly news for 4 straight hours. We had calls come in. I didn't take any. I hope that wasn't I hope it was very, very apparent that we weren't going to take calls last night. I did say that we'd try, but, you know, that was if the news segment slowed down. Because I always say that once I'm in the middle of something, I'm not going to stop. There's a flow to the stories. There's a pattern to the various things. And every little story does sort of give you a tidbit. It throws you a bone. It gives you a clue about the overall picture, and it allows you to see it, understand it, and discern it a little more completely. So that's kind of what we try to do here on this program. And we may do so tonight. There's certainly a lot of news out there, an expansion of some of the things we've talked about. It would seem that there's substantial more outrage today than there was yesterday about the British hostage situation. It would seem that gasoline is going up again. Oil has gone up again, and it will continue to do so, much like we talked about last night. There are many, many different rationalizations for this war, many different reasons for it, and lots of reasons why it's going to happen. So, you know, there is a time frame. There is a an agenda here that must be met. There's a schedule. Think of it like warfare is like a task that an employee has to complete by a certain time. And various employees are tasked with various things, such as, yes, this war must begin by this day, and if you don't do it, we're going to put you on paid suspension, or whatever it is. Dock your pay. Anyway, we're seeing some substantial shakeups in the Middle East, and one of those things would be a turning away of some of our staunch allies. And obviously this is a big problem as we potentially head into another war. But I think that most people would agree that things are so screwed up at this point that the United States is not necessarily capable of doing a lot of things that its president would say that we are. Now, I think that we, the people, are just fine, able to accomplish just about anything. But I think that what you've got here is the integration of politics into the whole picture. We've got a presidential election coming up, folks, and it's coming up very quickly. As a result of that, you have to have a campaign platform. In order to have a campaign platform that differs from, you know, your political opposite, meaning Democrat versus Republican and whatnot, you have to have some things to highlight. So you have to have a situation where you've got George W. Bush. Now, here's a guy who has two terms in office now. Most presidents, most political parties would go this route. They would choose a vice president who's younger, who's less experienced, and who can be groomed to take the reins so that party can run a strong candidate, somebody everybody's already familiar with, as their representative in the election. Case in point, of course, George Bush Sr., after you know, being the VP under Reagan for 8 years, he ran. He won. Makes sense, right? I mean, that's just standard operating procedure. You've got Bill Clinton, president for 8 years. Al Gore, VP for 8 years. Al Gore goes and runs for president in 2000. That's just how it works. You try to maintain your party's control of the White House. Well, here you've got George W. Bush. Who is his vice president? Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney is 1,842 years older than George W. Bush. Probably didn't know that, but it's true. Okay, I just made that up, but you see what I'm saying. He's more experienced, not less. He's older, not younger. He's in worse health, not better. Does this sound like a continuity issue? Absolutely not. Would anybody vote for Dick Cheney for president? Hell no. In fact, Dick Cheney being vice president is probably the reason why George Bush is so well protected. George W. Bush is so well protected, because nobody wants Dick Cheney in the White House. Nobody wants him to be the president. So what is the agenda of the Republican Party here? Does it make any sense? I mean, odds are it would have been brilliant for them to, you know, move in and just replace Dick Cheney at some point and put somebody else in there. I don't know. Whoever they were grooming for the candidacy. But they haven't. Indicating that they're very, very, very obviously handing the reins over to the Democrats, right? Because you want a polar opposite. Any Republican, anybody that even considers themselves to be a Republican is at an incredible disadvantage in the 2008 presidential election, because you have the guilt by association factor. It's just going to be a mess. It's going to be a nightmare. I just read a statistic that said, what, something like between 83 and 89% of all Americans believe in global warming as a human-caused issue. Well, that's going to be a Democratic platform. So that means that for the most part, you've got 83 to 89% of the American people who are going to be voting, presumably, for a Democrat, will probably be voting for whoever the Democratic choice is. And I think it will be Hillary as president, John Edwards as VP. Just an assessment. Of course, I did predict that after the day after the 2004 presidential election. We'll see if it actually bears out. John Edwards, by the way, getting substantial amount of contributions since the announcement about his wife's cancer. just as we predicted as well. What I'm getting at here is the Democrat agenda is going to have to be the polar opposite of George W. Bush, and it is already, especially Hillary's, for example. She has gone out on many speaking engagements and talked about what her plan would be. For the most part, though, everything was laid out in an incredible form when she spoke before the Council on Foreign Relations. She got up there in front of the CFR, and this before she announced she was running for president. She just said, basically, gosh, if I were going to run for president, here are the kind of things that I would be concerned about. Here are the kind of things that I would be interested in. And it just went on and on and on. So you've got a situation where she just basically picked the opposite of where we were at here in America under George W. Bush, and we're going to see a lot of the same things. She'll just do the opposite. But it's all going to result in the same thing, a lot of the same draconian power grabs from the Fed that we've discovered. But you have to have a president in there who's going to lead us into a war. You have to have a president in there who's going to screw everything up, get us into a conflict where we have a lot of enemies against us. Now, typically, when you look at World War I, World War II, I mean, the sides weren't really balanced, per se, as far as the number of countries lining up against each other. It was fairly one-sided as far as the number of countries. That doesn't mean anything because obviously some of the smaller countries, they have a thought on the issue, they have a position to take, but they don't really have much to contribute, much like our coalition of the willing. And it's like now we've got the country of, I don't know, Rakovinia, which is contributing 8 soldiers to the cause in Iraq, you know, something like that. So when you're looking at the lineup there about this World War III type of scenario, you see that there's a lot of vested interest in Iran's sovereignty going on, or at least in Iranian control being handled by somebody who's on board with them. And we talked about it. We've got Japan, who's one of our allies. They buy a lot of Iranian oil. China and Russia, of course, have a vested interest, a lot of financial stuff locked in there. Iran and Syria have cooperative defense agreements, implying that if one gets attacked, the other one's definitely going to jump in. Lebanon presumably will side with those countries as well, and so on and so on and so on. Now, who else? Well, there could be many, many more. We just don't know. Have to wait and see, honestly. But we've always counted on a certain amount of support there in the Middle East. And by support, I'm not saying military support, but just some sort of hands-off approach by some of our allies there in the Middle East. And this would be, you know, Saudi Arabia, of course, where we buy majority of our oil. Jordan, Egypt, perhaps, definitely Israel, and it goes on and on and on. But we're seeing a substantial amount of money, influence, and power all sort of gravitating to Iran, right? I mean, you've got Venezuela, which, again, if you take the average price per barrel of oil, if it were higher than $20, which is supposedly the per barrel average at this point, but if you jack it up to somewhere like $40, $50, $60 a barrel as an average price, Venezuela has the greatest, most vast oil reserves on the planet, far superseding Saudi Arabia. In fact, if you were to factor in all of the oil, even the one that's relatively more expensive to process out of Venezuela, Venezuela has more oil than all the other countries combined, it is my understanding. That is extraordinarily substantial. And what does that mean? It means, of course, Venezuela is going to be wary of the United States because the United States has a habit of going and invading various countries that happen to have a lot of oil. But Saudi Arabia is really interesting, and that's what we're going to talk about here in this news segment coming up. And it's Saudi Arabia is significant for a number of reasons, because A, we get quite a bit of our oil from them. B, Saudi Arabia is mentioned in the Project for New American Century as a country that we might have to go in and have a regime change, or we might have to go in and control their resources. So Saudi Arabia, as we had mentioned in previous news stories, is getting a little antsy about the whole situation falling apart there in the Middle East, because Saudi Arabia obviously differs from Iran in their religious ideologies. But at the same time, they would like to be the main power broker there in the region. But they've been linked with the United States for a long time, and that's an unpopular position. So what happens, or what would happen, if you will, if Saudi Arabia changed its allegiances? I'm not talking about the sale of oil, although that is at issue as well. I'm talking about where they're at in their political ideology. Stay with us, and we'll talk about that when we come back here in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
This Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. Frankly, speaking radio, in fact. We left off talking about Saudi Arabia. Let's take a look at where they're at these days. Some very interesting developments. This one came out on the 30th, so technically earlier today. YNetNews.com out of Israel. Just when the United States is attempting to support the moderate Arab countries and form a united coalition against Iran and Syria, it appears that Riyadh is turning its back on Washington. Riyadh, of course, is the capital of Saudi Arabia. For those who don't know, Washington Post columnist Jim Hoagland revealed this week that Saudi King Abdullah canceled a mid-April White House gala without providing a convincing explanation. According to the report, Bandar bin Sultan, the Saudi national security advisor, flew to Washington last week to explain to U.S. President George W. Bush that April 17th posed a scheduling problem. But administration sources reported that Bush and his senior advisors were not convinced by Bandar's vagueness, especially since it followed the Saudi decision to seek common ground with Iran and the radicals of Hezbollah and Hamas instead of confronting them as part of Condoleezza Rice's proposed realignment of the Middle East into moderates and extremists. Another proof of the crisis was expressed in the King's speech in the Arab at the Arab League summit in Riyadh, in which he slammed the U.S. occupation in Iraq. So that's pretty substantial stuff there, my friends, on a lot of different levels. Goes on. Official U.S. sources expressed their surprise over the remarks and simultaneously tried to minimize the criticism and imply that there may have been a mistake in the translation. So basically the U.S. coming out and saying, oh, he didn't say that. He wasn't slamming the occupation of Iraq. He was slamming the fact that U.S. troops are in Iraq. Huh? There's not too many different ways to take that, I guess. Abdullah gave a warm welcome recently to Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in Riyadh in early March, not long after the Saudis pressured Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas into accepting a political accord that entrenches Hamas in an unwieldy coalition government with Abbas's Fatah movement, Hoagland wrote. Now, that's intriguing in a number of levels as well, because it would appear, according to some of the stories that we've sourced here on this program, and these are all relatively mainstream, they may be more or less credible depending on the country of origin and how that international sort of reporting is perceived. Okay, some are perceived to be legitimate, some are perceived to be more or less tabloid-type papers. But anyway, what this one particular story I'm referencing just off the top of my head here is that Saudi Arabia had been in contact with the Russians and basically said, you know, we've got some concerns here. We've got some concerns that the Americans are really just going to run willy-nilly all through the Middle East. Once, you know, Iran and Iraq are sort of occupied or out of the picture, at least as far as their own sovereignty goes, and these puppet governments installed, we're very concerned that we might be next. And we had reported, again, also that Russia would be moderately concerned about Iran's sovereignty as well. It might start having troop positions put into Iran. And it would appear that they've already begun to do this. Now, supposedly they've done this in order to protect their investment, meaning the Bashir nuclear power plant and the Russian scientists who are working on it. Now, when that starts to get a little interesting is when you look at the deaths of these Russian journalists that have been sort of speaking out against their government. One of whom was working on a very, very big story about an international arms summit in which, you know, representatives with unlimited bank accounts go to these things and they see the latest technological innovations as far as weaponry goes. And they have, you know, the samples that you can see and whatnot. And, you know, people are on hand to describe how it works. You know, the typical multinational armament seminars that we've all been to. I'm joking. Anyway, this particular Russian reporter did go to this and did find evidence and had documentation on the record from various Russian military officials that Russia was seeking to allow the transaction of, I guess you could say, high technology to Iran and Syria for self-defense purposes. And this would be missiles, anti-aircraft, various radar systems and things like that. And this guy was executed, basically. It was deemed to be a suicide, but the guy was not suicidal. He loved his life. He seemed to be very happy, and he was working on a big story that just happened to implicate the Russian government in arming future enemies of the United States government. And when I say future enemies, I mean that we haven't actually engaged in any official warfare as of that point. So that was a very interesting story as well. So if Saudi Arabia is contacting the Russians, it would seem that Saudi Arabia is not a guaranteed ally of the United States. Now, take it a step further and say that Saudi Arabia does provide a substantial amount of oil to the United States. Take it a step further with all the stories we brought out yesterday about the Iranians pricing their oil sales in euros or rather non-dollar denominations. What if the Saudis were able to do the same thing and require the United States, if you're going to buy our oil and we'll happily sell it to you, you have to pay us in euros? That would change some things, ladies and gentlemen. So Saudi Arabia apparently not very happy with us and perhaps exploring other options. Now, big, you know, consumers of oil would be things like countries like Russia and China, which are more or less allied with Iran. So it starts to get interesting. It starts to get sticky. Stay with us. We're back in three with more news and more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. It's Saturday morning. It's the weekend, right? Nothing exciting ever happens on the weekend in the news, does it? Au contraire, my friends. We're talking about this story from WinnetNews.com. It technically came out on Friday, but here goes. We continue. According to commentators, the Saudis were furious over Washington's support of Israel's stance and failure to express more support over the Saudi initiatives and have therefore begun looking for support in other groups, which Washington refers to as the, quote, extreme axis, end quote. According to Washington Post's Hoagland, a few months ago, Bandar was championing the confrontational realignment approach in Saudi family councils. Iran's power would be broken. The Syrians would have to give up hegemonic designs on Lebanon, etc. Now, the Saudi prince visits with Tehran and Moscow regularly. He helps set the stage for the Palestinians' Mecca Accord, which has caused Israel to reduce what little cooperation it felt it could extend to Abbas. Very, very interesting on a number of levels. Because, again, this buddy-buddy relationship with Iran and Russia. Russia, of course, who supposedly was approached by Saudi Arabia and said, hey, look, we're kind of worried about these Americans continuing their expansion in the Middle East into Saudi Arabia. Story concludes, it appears that Jordan's King Abdullah is also distancing himself from the Bush administration. According to Hoagland, he has let the White House know that he cannot make the state visit discussed for September and asked to delay the visit to 2008. 2008, when Bush will pretty much be a lame duck at that point. Everyone's going to be focused on the new president. Very, very interesting. Said a Jordanian commentator to the New York Times, quote, the Saudis are telling the United States that it must listen to its allies and not only impose its decisions upon them and always accept Israel's stance, end quote. So again, Israel comes into the mix. Now, remember, the Democrats were going to make sure that George W. Bush was not allowed to invade Iran without their approval, and they were going to pass this big, show of nothing, basically, non-binding resolutions and whatnot. And basically what that boiled down to is complete and total nonsense. But again, the nonsense was of course, aborted because Israel said that they were very concerned if an option was taken off the table that Israel's enemies, meaning, of course, Iran, would feel more emboldened. Now, as I've mentioned to you before, Congress basically authorized President Bush to go after those responsible for September 11th until they were caught. So, of course, the culprits behind September 11th are Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda, who, of course, can have connections anywhere. Everybody's connected to Al-Qaeda. As long as you keep the connections to Al-Qaeda going, the war on terror can go on forever. And that's kind of the agenda, honestly, when you think about it. We've talked about this many, many times. The bipartisan September 11th commission, Democrats and Republicans alike, took a look at the connections there because it took so many years to convene the thing. They were able to not only address September 11th per se, but also the connectivity of the Iraq war in terms of September 11th. And what they found was very interesting. And we called it at the time saying, you know, here you've got these bipartisan committee members, Democrats and Republicans alike, saying, hey, look, there's more tying Al-Qaeda to Iran than there is tying Al-Qaeda to Saddam Hussein. So they just made the connection there, indicating to me and to all of us that the war on terror is going to expand. It's going to grow. And as long as those connections are made, Bush has the authority legally to do these things. It's just like anything else. Is it right? No. Is it loopholes? Yes. Are they still going to be exploited? Absolutely. So make no mistake about that. So we've got a message being sent from Saudi Arabia and Jordan, apparently some sort of concern about the agenda. Now, obviously, because these are our allies, supposedly, there in the Middle East, they're going to be very well plugged into the agenda of what is going to happen to Iran. So apparently, they know enough to be very concerned about what is coming in the very near future. And they're so concerned that they're seeking to not necessarily save Iran, per se, but rather to align themselves with people who can protect their sovereignty from the United States, if it is in jeopardy. It's very interesting. This one also came out yesterday, the 30th, from the AFP, and it says, Washington was surprised by comments from the custodian of the two holy mosques, King Abdullah bin Abdulaziz of Saudi Arabia, criticizing the U.S. presence in Iraq and was seeking clarification, said U.S. Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns yesterday. Said Burns, quote, we were a little surprised to see those remarks. We disagree with them, Burns told Congress, recalling how the presence of troops in Iraq was approved by an annual vote in the United Nations. He said, quote, obviously we will seek clarification. You never know. It could have been an interpretation. It could have been misreported, end quote. It's very interesting. The White House yesterday hit back at Abdullah's comments, saying that the U.S. occupation of Iraq was not illegitimate, said White House spokesman Dana Perino to reporters, quote, when it comes to the coalition of forces being in Iraq, we are there under the UN Security Council resolutions and at the invitation of the Iraqi people, end quote. Now, obviously, that's a little bit of a gray area, honestly. Are we there at the invitation of the Iraqi government and the Iraqi people? Yes. The government that we helped establish. So, yes, of course, we are there at their invitation. Are we there at the UN's sort of approval? Yes, because we already went in without their approval and did whatever it is we were going to do. So, yes, the UN has approved us to be there now in the aftermath. So it's, you know, chicken or the egg, you know, that sort of thing. When asked whether the U.S. military presence in Iraq was illegitimate, Perino replied, quote, certainly not. We are there at the invitation of the sovereign government of Iraq, end quote. She had her fingers crossed under the podium, I'm sure. This story came out also on the 30th, Friday, yesterday, earlier today, whichever you prefer. Time.com is where you can find it. The Arab League summit that concluded in Riyadh Thursday reaffirmed the body's peace offer to Israel, but it hardly suggested the sort of bold outreach to the Jewish state for which U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice had been lobbying. Indeed, the summit appeared to reveal a yawning gap between the outlooks of the U.S. and its key Arab ally, summit host Saudi Arabia. Although on her latest Middle East shuttle, she managed to persuade Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to agree on holding regular meetings, Rice's efforts to promote Israeli-Palestinian peace are looking more like crisis management than visionary deal-making. Rice seemed to be expressing hope that Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah, whom she praised as the author of the 2002 Arab Initiative, would authorize direct Saudi-Israeli talks. Plainly, however, the United States and the Saudis are not exactly in lockstep, and the distance between them is widening by the day as American credibility in the Middle East nosedives as a result of the U.S. failure in Iraq. The Saudis believe that Abdullah's 2002 initiative in itself remains a bold and historic outreach to the Israelis, and they remain annoyed that it took the Bush administration and the Israeli government 5 years to even pay it much notice. Riyadh believes that if it wants to revive the peace process, the United States needs to do more to pressure Israel into meaningful negotiations and realistic compromises. In essence, Saudi Arabia is saying, look, because you keep on sort of taking the Israeli side here, no peace initiative is actually moving anywhere. It's all sort of stagnant and stalemated because you keep on taking their side and giving them validity as opposed to, you know, stepping back from the whole process. Now, keep in mind, folks, this whole thing is part of the Baker-Hamilton Commission. You may recall that in the course of them exploring how to sort of win in Iraq, if you will, one of the things they had proposed was getting the Middle Eastern neighbors involved in the Iraq process, and they proposed that one of the solutions was to have Israel really sort of calm down and give up a lot of the territory they had acquired in the 1967 war. So that's pretty much almost exactly what Saudi Arabia had said, but it didn't get any attention until the U.S. had brought it up. Sort of like, you know, we've all been in the situation, you're at work or something, and you've got a really good idea, and you pitch it to the boss, and the boss goes, eh. But then, you know, maybe the brown noser, you know, he steps up and says the exact same thing, and the boss goes, that's a phenomenal idea. You're like, hey, wait a minute here. That was my idea. You stole my idea right here at the table. Well, that's kind of how Saudi Arabia feels, it would seem. Not a good position for our allies to be in, needless to say. Anyway, the story goes on. According to an Arab diplomat, quote, the problem is the United States is like a ship with no anchor. It took a clear position. If it took a clear position, it could move people around that position, but because it does not, it is just getting pulled in many directions, end quote. The Saudi-U.S. differences are highlighted by the summit's endorsement of the Mecca Agreement, under which Hamas and President Mahmoud Abbas agree to establish a national unity government to end Palestinian infighting. In contrast to the continued U.S. insistence that Hamas be boycotted, the Saudis believe that peace negotiations can only succeed if Hamas can be drawn into the process. Now, that's intriguing because we brought these stories to your attention as well. Saudi Arabia negotiating the whole thing there between the Hamas and the Fatah movements there in the Palestinian territories. Now, Hamas is the duly elected government of the Palestinian people, democratically elected, by the way. Of course, the United States was very unhappy with that because they've been promoting democracy. You have a democratic election, and we don't like the winner, so we say, that's it. We refuse to recognize your government because your government is on the State Department's list of terrorist groups. So therefore, of course, all aid was ceased to the Palestinian people. Israel, of course, said the exact same thing, and Israel provided most of the aid. So basically, you've got the Palestinian people who are suffering under horrific conditions and have been for a long time now because they've had no money to pay their government workers, therefore virtually no government. The people have been having a hard time acquiring food, clean water, and things like that. It's been deemed a humanitarian crisis by the United Nations, which, you know, they don't know which end is up anyway. The UN doesn't know anything. But the point is for them to make these statements and for these things, of course, to be swept under the rug here in the U.S. media is noteworthy. So it goes on. Hamas and Fatah have had some issues because the Palestinian president is Fatah and the Palestinian government is Hamas, and there's been some sectarian infighting. Now, we brought to your attention several months ago a very, very significant story which said basically the U.S. agenda is to completely destabilize the Middle East, and they're doing that in a number of different fashions. Number one, first of all, they're going into Lebanon and destabilizing the situation there with Hezbollah and the people there in Lebanon. They're attempting to do that. They are successfully destabilizing the situation between Hamas and Fatah in the Palestinian territories. And they're doing that, of course, because you get somebody gets kidnapped, somebody gets shot, somebody else gets blamed, and then it just continues to escalate in the rise of violence. You kill two of my guys, we're going to kill five of yours. You kill five of ours, we're going to kill 20 of yours. You kill 20, we kill 100, and so on and so forth. That's the destabilization techniques. Okay, so they were doing that in the Palestinian territories. And then in Iraq, the Shia-Sunni divisions, those have been exploited in the sectarian violence there, which they've been calling civil war, and then they've been calling it not a civil war, and so on and so forth. That's all been contrived, folks. And the reason that that has been contrived in Iraq specifically is to allow more troops to be sent over to Iraq to stabilize the destabilized process. Now, remember, the Iraq study group, the Baker-Hamilton Commission, basically said we need up to but not more than 100,000 troops because not more than 100,000 are available. Now, that's 100,000 in addition to the 140-plus thousand that were already there. We've already started sending over thousands. We've already started sending over more aircraft carrier strike groups, of course, those to make a point to Iran. But the whole point is we've got a invasion-level force in Iraq. We've already got the country. So you're telling me that because of some terrorism, you're going to send over, you know, 500,000 troops? How does that make any sense? Well, it doesn't make any sense unless you're planning to have an invasion-level force from Iraq going into another country. Ding, ding, ding. It's plainly obvious. But they have to find different ways to rationalize it because the American people, for the most part, are more than happy to say, we need to do something about that Iraq situation. Those Shias and Sunnis are crazy. They're just killing each other right and left. I think we should send in more troops. Yeah, that's a good idea. No, it's not. That's not what it's for. For terrorists? Are you kidding me? Ridiculous. So in essence, what you've got in this whole thing, let's look at the Palestinian territories, for example. A lot of problems. A lot of people remember the Israel-Lebanon war of this past summer. What they have neglected to remember is that the 30 days prior to that, Israel was making huge military maneuvers in the Palestinian territories to try to deal with a kidnapped. I think there were two soldiers kidnapped initially, and then one soldier kidnapped in addition to that. I don't recall if it was one and then two, or two and then one. But anyway, they were saying that this whole thing was happening as a result of that. Well, we looked at the whole thing, and the idea that was something they didn't expect was an outright lie. The Israeli officials have gone on the record and said basically they had come up with contingency plans for what do we do if there's a kidnapping of one of our officials. And oh, today, a kidnapping occurred. Very much like the drills on September 11th where they fly planes into buildings. Oh, look, there are planes hitting buildings. I'm shocked by this. It's not anything to be shocked about. It's all manufactured. And when we looked at the whole story, the Israelis had captured somebody 2 weeks before the kidnappings took place, and this person they had kidnapped had told them basically about the plan. And this is all in the Israeli news, and we had covered this all last year, okay? And what they had said was 2 weeks earlier they had captured a guy who had said this. Now, here's apparently what happened. The Palestinians had dug a hole, a tunnel, I should say, like 100 yards through sand dunes. Did anybody ever try to dig a tunnel through sand? Doesn't really work too well. It doesn't really stay in place. If you dig away some sand, guess what happens? More sand falls down. How do you dig 100 yards through sand? And even if they somehow did manage to successfully do this by the official story, the idea that they captured somebody, okay, 2 weeks earlier indicates that this tunnel was basically the agenda was in place, right? So they have a tunnel that's dug through sand 2 weeks early, and they obviously know where the tunnel ends because they captured the guy who was involved with it. which means that the kidnapping could only take place, what, within, what, 20 yards of the exit of this tunnel? Which indicates that they knew full well what was going to happen. But that was the rationale for all those military maneuvers in the Gaza area and in the Palestinian territories. And that preceded the Lebanon War, which nobody remembers, because the Lebanon thing was a war, but the Palestinian thing was just, a conflict. Anyway, the point is the destabilization techniques are falling apart because of Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is getting involved in this whole thing because they see the writing on the wall. And they see what's going on in Lebanon. And they see what's going on in the Palestinian territories. And they see what's going on in Iraq. And they're seeking to make amends. So they did negotiate some sort of treaty between Hamas and Fatah, where they would unify their government. And I think in the words of one of the representatives of the Palestinians, I don't remember which side it was on, he said, "We will have one army." Which is supposedly, Saudi Arabia said, well, we weren't trying to necessarily unify the people into an army per se, but we were trying to unify them into some sort of mindset of being a unified people. Well, that poses a problem to the destabilization agenda of the U.S. or whomever is pulling the strings of the U.S. in this this whole thing. Anyway, we'll continue with these news stories and our analysis when we come back in 3 minutes. More Frankly Speaking Radio on the way.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Black, knock on
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Tail end of hour number three in the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, and we are still immersed in this story out of time.com. Came out earlier today. And again, just giving you a lot of perspective of sort of what's been going on there in the Middle East over the last 6 months or so. If you have not been paying attention, there's a lot of shenanigans. I guess that's the best way to put it. All right. So anyway, it goes on talking about how Saudi Arabia had basically instituted this sort of treaty between Hamas and Fatah that they would unify in government and therefore be able to institute some sort of legitimate, I don't know, I guess, agenda. You know, they would stop hating each other and hate their enemy, whomever that might be. Anyway, it goes on. The Islamist movement is, after all, the democratically elected ruling party in the Palestinian Authority, meaning Hamas. Said an Arab diplomat, quote, "The U.S. is a prisoner of contradictions of its own making. They shouted democracy, 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 and then ended up with Hamas, who they refuse to deal with because they're terrorists," end quote. Saudi Arabia's increasingly public divergence from U.S. positions is a comparatively new development. Until fairly recently, Abdullah appeared willing to support Bush as much as possible, but the message out of the Riyadh summit is that the Saudis, along with other Arab states, have concluded that Washington's policies are neither wise, effective, or in long-term Arab interests, and they're signaling their intent to take greater control over their own destiny. In his summit speech, Abdullah called the U.S. military involvement in Iraq, quote, "an illegitimate foreign occupation," end quote, and he demanded an end to the unjust American-led embargo of the Hamas-dominated Palestinian Authority. All of this amounted to a sharp debunking of Condoleezza Rice's suggestion that Saudi Arabia and the other Arab allies form a new moderate bloc in order to confront Iran, Syria, Hamas, and Hezbollah. Abdullah called on his fellow leaders to restore their credibility with the Arab public and never, quote, "allow banners to be raised in Arab lands other than those of Arabism," end quote. Implying, end this U.S. occupation, end this U.S. expansion in the Middle East, end this agenda of control of oil-producing countries. Because, again, if you think about it, there's a lot of enemies that we have. But we're not invading North Korea. Why? Because North Korea doesn't have oil. It's only the countries that have oil or something else that we want. Those are the countries that we're going into. And I think that's pretty obvious as well. It goes on, it is tempting to dismiss Abdullah's summit rhetoric as playing to the gallery, but the Washington Post reports that Abdullah has also canceled his attendance at a White House state dinner planned in his honor next month. It wasn't so long ago that Bush and Abdullah were practically lovebirds, holding hands as they walked past news cameras during Abdullah's last visit to the U.S. in 2005. For better or for worse, they may increasingly be going their separate ways. Well, You can certainly make that assessment, for better or for worse. I don't know. Who cares, right? It's just Saudi Arabia. We don't need them. Okay. Until we break our addiction and our dependence on Middle Eastern oil, as the president, the oil man president that we have now, has suggested, this will become an issue. So obviously, if we do see a substantial amount of change as far as oil, and we talked a lot about this yesterday, we're going to see a substantial push for something else. Now, a push for alternatives to oil dependence would be completely in line with what? Well, with global warming and the Democratic Party's agenda for the 2008 presidential election. So if Bush does what he's supposed to be doing, which is mixing it all up, screwing it all up, it makes it very easy to decide who to vote for in 2008, doesn't it? Stay with us back in about 90 seconds with our final hour.